Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movement for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro.
Show.
They got me started, lion hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, you think this shit won't be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, ha. We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth a crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coins, hell pro.
RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prisons. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation. Black power, black power, black power, brothers and sisters. You're listening to the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense Nightly Broadcast. Tonight's broadcast will definitely be very informative. We're coming to you live here in the belly of the beast of America, KKK. Yet we're broadcasting all over the planet Earth, sending a special shout out to our brothers and sisters in the mother continent of Africa. As we know, for you to be listening in a different country that are listening from the mother continent, that you are indeed up in the late night hour, and we appreciate your support. Same goes for the folks that are listening in London and the UK and all across Europe and in Australia and South America and Central America and in the Caribbean islands and the Pacific islands, everywhere that you're listening, we appreciate and thank you for your support. And last but certainly not least, we thank our brothers and sisters right here, battling out in the belly of the beast with us in the Mirror KKK for your continued support of the new Black Panther Party. Remember to go to www.nbpp.org and support the New Black Panther Party by making a financial contribution, by clicking that donate button. Also, if you're interested in joining, that's the site to go to, www.nbpp.org. Now, brothers and sisters, tonight we're going to keep it inconsistent with bringing news across the Pan-African diaspora. And what we will play for you tonight are two clips from a program that we, a channel that we have been keeping our eyes on and rebroadcasting. And this channel on YouTube is called Pan-African TV. And they have some very timely and very important information. And so what we're going to do, there's two clips that we're going to play. One clip is entitled Hot News from the Pan-African News, and the other one, from the Pan-African TV, and the other clip is entitled Pan-African News. And both these broadcasts aired earlier today in Africa, and they're covering pretty much at least 46 countries in Africa. So we don't need to reinvent the wheel. We need to support the black media of our people on the continent of Africa. So what we will do is go ahead and play this clip, and then we will play the clip so we can be on top of what's going on. So without further ado, here is the clip. Take notes. Black power.
Trasarco Estates, home to Accra's most beautiful and luxurious homes, presents its newest addition, Trasarco Springs, a premium master planned community of service.
And welcome to Hot News. We are live on Pan African Television. We are also live on Facebook at Pan African Television, also on YouTube at Pan African Television, as well as 48 African countries. You can join in the conversation by sending in your views, comments, and contributions on our WhatsApp to text line displayed on the screen. We'll make a time and read all those out for you. Those of you watching us on Facebook can share the Facebook Live for other people to also watch tonight's edition of the program. My name is Justice Apia, and tonight on Hot News, we are still looking at the electronic, you know, transactions levy introduced by this government today. There has been no show in Parliament, but the minority in Parliament are pushing for a no e-levy debate in Parliament in the absence of Speaker Aban Sumane Bagbin. How is that going to be? Also, the majority has said that they will pass or approve the e-levy in the interest of the state. The two sides are at loggerheads with regards to the approval and passage of this levy. How are we going to see that? How are things going to pan out in the coming days? Are we going to see it laid before Parliament within this week? Last week there was no show. We started the week today. It has not been tabled out for discussion and, you know, subsequent voting and all of that. How are things going to go? Well, of course, we have been joined in the studio by a member of Parliament for Drapa constituency in person of Honorable Cletus Seydou Dapila, a brother and a friend. Good evening, sir. Good evening. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, my brother. Good. Thank you.
Right. How's the constituency? Good to see you too.
I think the constituency is fine.
I see. Yeah. I see. I hope so.
By His grace, we are doing our best for our people.
I'm told a lot of MPs have not received their common fund yet. Have you received yours already?
Yeah, basically, you know, the whole of 2021, we were supposed to receive four quarters. We got only two.
I see.
And we are in 2022, so we don't know what will happen.
Let's see how things go. Yeah. Also in the studio is the head of PR for YEA in person of Awa Mohammed, another brother and a friend. Oh, good evening. How are you doing?
Good evening, my brother. I'm fine, thank you.
You're looking good in your smoke as
thank
well.
Thank you so much.
Right. how is your outfit?
We're doing great. We're trying to at least roll out a lot of models. So, you know, for the first time, YA has projects that we have constructed.
Very
initially,
well.
We have been in offices in the district assemblies and so on, but we're now trying to build our regional offices. So tomorrow we'll even inaugurate the one in Dambai. Last 2 weeks I was in the Western North region where we inaugurated that one, to go to Northeast where we have constructed the ultra modern offices. So YEA is moving from temporary office to at least our own offices across the country. So definitely everything is okay. Honorable is saying common fund, they have only received two. But it has always been in arrears. He is aware. No government has ever made that commitment up to date, because it is the taxpayers' money that is used. So when we pay our taxes, then something small will go, just like how he said. Because I remember in 2015, some people had to even go to court for common fund to be paid. So
well, Honorable failed to become a member of parliament.
Yeah, because he's
used to be the DC for the area as well. So
exactly.
I mean,
so
he's very much abreast to these processes.
Very much abreast.
Anyway, but let me just read briefly the demands of the minority in parliament in terms of the approval of the E-levy. But the minority is pushing for no E-levy debate in the absence of Speaker Alban Bagbin. This is what they are saying. Briefly, I would want to read a bit of the story. Minority in Parliament is pushing for a no E-levy debate in the absence of the Speaker of Parliament, Alban Bagbin. Continued by saying that this is because the Speaker, Alban Bagbin, has left the country for his third medical review in Dubai, a situation the majority group said would frustrate government business. Oh my goodness. On Friday, January 28th, the National Democratic Congress, NDC MPs, kicked against moves by the majority to reintroduce the levy, citing time constraints. Wow. Deputy Minority Leader James Pluche Aveji admonished government to halt the reconsideration, arguing the opposition NDC will resist any attempt by the two deputy speakers to participate during the voting on the controversial policy. Quote, the speaker is having his medical treatment. We should give him the benefit of the doubt. He must treat himself because we need him. Our advice to the majority side is that we should wait until the speaker comes back. We want the speaker to preside, then we had voted on the matter. He continued by saying that whether the motion will be lost completely or will be carried, that is something that will be done after. We want the speaker to be there. We don't want any of the deputies to preside, so that what happened in 2021 should repeat itself, he said. The majority side has said they will think through the available options to chart the way forward. Deputy Majority Whip Habib Idris says one option will be to discuss the substance of the E-levy and probably defer the question until the speaker returns. Even the E-levy, the other thing is that we could debate the principle and defer the question until the speaker is in. So we will wait. Sorry, we will weigh our options. But the main substance of the E-levy has actually not been discussed, he said. Well, and that is where we are. While the minority group in Parliament is pushing for, you know, a no E-levy debate, the majority side is actually resolved to, or in passing or approving this levy. And a lot of questions are coming up. That why would government at all costs want to pass or approve this levy that Ghanaians, or a lot of Ghanaians, are kicking against. But let me go to Honorable Sedu Dapila on why they are still pushing for a no e-levy debate, because we are told that the finance minister has proposed reducing it from 1.75% to 1.5%. He is trying to meet your demands halfway. Why are you still insisting that you want the e-levy scrap?
Thank you very much, my good brother Justice Appiah, and good evening to you and the entire crew of Pan-African Television.
Very well.
Let me say good evening to my brother Awal. We are meeting here once again. I remember we met here when I was a parliamentary candidate.
Very well. Yeah.
And today I'm a member of parliament for the Jirafa constituency.
Yeah, when honestly I said we will win that seat, and you laughed and said it's a no-go
area. Well, I told you it's a no-go area. Yeah.
But do you know Abdul Karim is a teacher in one of the senior high schools.
I don't remember.
He sent me a message. He said, my SRC president in the college versus my SRC president in the university.
I see.
Yeah, at the training college, I was the SRC president.
Right. Yes,
I attended Tumu Training College. Tumu College of Education.
Education.
So, secondary school.
You
were the SRC president.
And I was also the SRC president where he schooled at.
Yes,
the university.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
Yes, let me say good evening to the good people of Jirafa constituency.
Right.
And all the viewers listening and watching us in this country and across the globe. Just as the NDC in parliament, the NDC members of parliament led by the Venerable Haruna Idrisu are not actually trying to frustrate government business as our opponents are always claiming on social media and all of that. What we seek to do as a responsible opposition is to, we want to carry this country along. We want to carry the Ghanaians along. And we've realized that there's hardship in the country. Ghanaians are already bedeviled with taxes all over. Yes, today if you go and buy anything, go to the restaurant, go to buy electricity, if you go to buy even phone credit, anything, then you will see the charges. The charges that we pay, the taxes that we pay, then you will come to realize that then if we are paying all these taxes, why will the government want to bring another tax? This one is not even tax, this one is a levy.
I see.
Well, taxes, the difference is that taxes are paid on profit. You pay taxes from profit, you understand? But levy is compulsory.
Right.
You just want to take my money. It's a policy. It's just something that is by force. I must take your money. That is what is happening. That's why it's a levy. There are differences. People think it's a tax. It's not a tax. It's a levy. There's a difference between levy and tax.
Okay.
A tax, you tax profit. You understand? But this one is a levy. So your capital, they will tax it. Money that you have worked for, your hard-earned salary that is paid through your bank account, they will come in there and take it and take something out of it. So that is the difference. And that is what we must tell Ghanaians, and we must let Ghanaians know that there are differences. Now, Justice, why are we saying that we should halt the e-levy debate until the Speaker comes? You've heard many government officials, government communicators chastising the Speaker. The Speaker is in collaboration with the minority MPs and they are frustrating government business. Now, that is not true. We know that Nana Akufo-Addo has won the elections, whether legitimately or illegitimately, but they have won the elections. You understand?
Right.
What I'm trying to just say is that, because I'm saying this because we challenge the elections,
right.
You understand? So today, he has the mandate to rule the country. If you have the mandate to rule this country, we, as minority MPs or minority group in parliament today, we will not be in a position, we will not stand in the way of the government at all. We will not. But what, like I said before, what we seek to do is to carry the Ghanaians along.
Okay.
We are listening to the plight of the Ghanaians. We know Ghanaians are suffering. If you travel the length and breadth of this country, Justice, you will get to realize that there's actually hardship in this country. So we are saying that no, don't add this tax. There are many ways you can generate revenue. Plug the revenue loopholes. Go and take the Auditor General report. Go and take the Auditor General report, Justice, and you will get to realize that there's a lot of waste in the system.
Okay.
Billions of Ghana cedis every year annually is wasted.
But
so if government is able to plug the loopholes, that one alone, I tell you what government will be able to save or generate will be more than what they are targeting to achieve from e-levy.
The Auditor General report, the argument is that, or the response they give is that it is not everything in that report that actually amounts to misappropriation or something like that.
I understand
and
that.
And that you cannot solely base on the Auditor General's report by saying that they are likely to prevent wastage and all of that.
Yes, yes. Thank you. I'll come back to the Auditor General report.
Right.
But let me try to emphasize on actually the reason why we are saying that let's hold the debate.
Okay.
Justice, you notice that I walk around, I meet friends who will call me, oh, Honorable Cletus, what is happening in the Ghanaian Parliament? You go there to fight. Why are you, are supposed to be gentlemen and women. Why are you fighting? Then I say, no, me, I'm not the type that will go to Parliament to fight.
Okay.
You understand?
Yeah.
But what brought all those physical fighting that people saw and where people are not happy, that is denting the image of this country. You know, democracy actually, without parliament there is no democracy. You understand?
Mm.
So if a speaker or whoever that is presiding, who understands the law very well, you understand the standing orders very well, you know the constitution very well, then you know that when you are presiding, then you don't have the opportunity to vote because you are the speaker at that moment.
Right.
You understand? Now, if you are the speaker, who should preside, who should apply the rules of the debate, then you say that, I will vote. I will vote. When you know you are not supposed to vote. So when you tell, publicly announce that, but yes, I will put the question and I will rule, you know, but let me also announce that I will also be voting.
Mm.
When you say that, you are inviting chaos. You are inviting confusion. At that moment, it means that you are not ready to apply the rules.
Right.
So that is where people will fight.
Mm.
You understand? So I'm very worried because I honestly don't think that it is giving this country any good image.
Okay.
But for me, I have always said that when there is a confusion, let's look at the root cause of the confusion.
Mm.
Let's don't begin to say that NDC MPs goes to parliament to fight. No. Is that what was happening? Has it happened before? No. Why is it happening? You understand? Justice, you cannot tell me that when you know you are not supposed to vote and you say you will vote, then I'll sit down and allow you to go and vote and tell me to go to Supreme Court to go and challenge it. No.
That's not possible.
That's not possible. I will not allow that. If I have a way to also stop you from voting, I will do that.
Mm.
That is what has been happening. And it is the reason why the Deputy Minority Leader, Honorable Abeji, is saying that, look, if you are 138, you are 137, we are 137, 137, then you have an independent MP who is doing business with you.
Mm.
If you add him, you have 138. If any of them, if Honorable Joe Wise or the former MP is the one presiding, if any of them is presiding, then it means that they cannot vote. So that is the warning Honorable Abeji is sounding.
Right.
And he's saying that, wait for speaker to come, mobilize your 138 and bring, and let them come and vote and pass the e-levy. But for us, we, 137, we are standing with the Ghanaian people. We know that Ghanaians are suffering, and we will always stand with them. We will support them. We are listening people. We are listening opposition, and we know they are suffering, and we will stand with the Ghanaian people.
Now,
that is all that we are saying.
Now let's.
But when you, if you come, in the absence of the speaker, if you bring any of the deputies to come and preside, and the same deputy will announce that I will vote, or if he attempts to go and vote, we'll stop it.
Mm.
We'll prevent that. And let me, is there something that I'm telling, whether...
In other words, are you saying that there will be another fight in Parliament?
No.
If...
I'm not...
The deputies...
I'm not... Yes. That one is in... I don't think that they themselves will even try to do that.
Mm.
They should not. We don't want confusion in the House.
Mm.
So let's all go by the rules. Justice, No human being. We are all living in this country, guided by the constitution of the country.
Right.
We are in parliament, guided by the constitution of this country, guided by the standing orders of parliament, of Ghana. You understand?
Right.
So those are the rules governing us. Otherwise, there are others who are very strong, who can get up and beat everybody there. But you cannot do that because we are law-abiding citizens.
Mm.
We are there governed by rules and regulations.
Okay.
You understand? So now, my worry is that when you throw those rules, when you throw the standing orders to the dogs, when you throw the constitution to the dustbin, what happened? We are in the jungle. So you are inviting confusion.
Mm.
So it is in the interest... It is in the interest of the ruling party that the Honorable Deputy Minority Leader is saying that let's wait for the Speaker to come so that what happened before we went on recess will not repeat itself. So that is all that we are calling for.
Now let's look at why people are saying that you are frustrating government business. There have been several consultations per what we have been told, that the majority side tried to meet, you know, the minority side on this issue. You have been very, you know, resistant to those consultations and all, and then you have insisted that there's either no e-levy or you vote on the floor of parliament and whoever, you know, wins the day, carries the day and all of that. We are told that the finance minister has also proposed reducing it from 1.75% to 1.5%. You have disagreed. You have refused. You don't want to even give him a listening ear. The finance minister has told the whole nation that without the e-levy, we are likely to crash as a nation. We need the 6.9 billion or 7 billion out from the e-levy to be able to shore up the state's revenue. You don't want to listen. They are telling you that the youth are not having jobs and that through the e-levy, they are likely to, you know, finance some job creations and infrastructure problems and all of that. You still don't want to listen. Looking at all these things, are you not, or is anybody not in the best place to interpret this as people who are at all costs frustrating government business?
Justice, what the NDC and majority of Ghanaians are saying is that e-levy is a very bad policy. It's
right.
A very bad tax.
Mm.
You understand? It's a bad levy.
But other states, other countries have introduced it.
Yes, we are not those countries.
Okay.
We are a sovereign country
what
on
makes
our
it
own.
Bad?
It is bad because you don't go in to tax people capital.
Okay.
Justice, you heard the Vice President, Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia, all the time. Now he's become, how will I put it? He's now, he preaches digitalization and all of that.
Right.
He's saying that we should go digitalize, our economy should be digitalized and all of that. Now, many Ghanaians, yes, we believe in that. That is why many Ghanaians now have the interest in saving.
Right.
Those who don't want to go to traditional banks to save, they put their money in their mobile wallet.
Very well.
Many Ghanaians now are interested in buying stuff online and all of that.
Mm.
Now, all of us have decided to be doing this. Then you now come with this policy. You are now coming with this levy to go in and tax people's capital. You understand? Justice, why would you tax somebody's capital? Why? It is my money. I've not done anything with the money. I just work for it, and it is in my account. Already, Justice, I'm a professional teacher.
Mm.
I'm a professional teacher. Then I teach. At the end of the month, government pays me. It will take my pay slip as a teacher. You will see the taxes that government has taken from me.
Mm.
Now, the money that is left, the tax government has taken from my salary, and
right.
what is left in my account, if I'm to say that I'm paying something online, I'm transferring the money to a mobile money. Maybe I bought something online and I'm taking the money from my bank to pay. Then you will tax it. How? Yes, that is not fair. You are taxing me double. Not even double. Triple. You are just
right.
taxing me. At every process of me spending my money, you are taking something out of it. That is not fair.
Right.
You understand? So it is a bad policy. We are saying that the government should not have even contemplated it. That is the reason why we are
preferred for government. I'll come to you very soon.
That is. Yes, we had alternatives. There's Tollbooth. Tollbooth was generating something. Why did they scrap
how
it?
How much was the Tollbooth?
That is, in any case, let me tell you, it is not about how much money this country, how much taxes you collect. It is about the utilization of the money.
Mm.
That is what Ghanaians are also crying. You take so much taxes already. What have you used the money for? What have you used the money for? Justice, why will a poor country, a country like Ghana, okay, where we are contemplating bringing e-levy,
right,
taxing transactions, you understand? Now, you have a president who believes that there's no money and the economy will collapse, yet he has the audacity to be chartering flights, private flights, and be flying around. Is it fair? How can you come and convince me, a poor man, that I should pay more taxes?
Mm.
We have a presidential jet, and the president thinks that it's not comfortable for him, for his use now.
Mm.
Then you go and use so much money, the taxpayers, what they've already paid, you are using it on your luxury trips. Now you come to tell me that I should pay more money. I will not agree with you. That is the reason why NDC and Ghanaians are saying that no. It is just not NDC. Justice, I tell you, if this policy, it is because the voting is an open voting.
Mm.
You understand? If it was a secret balloting, I tell you, about 50 MPP MPs would have voted for us. Just like what happened in the speakership election. That is what would have happened. But many of them are equally against it.
Mm.
But because it is their government, like my brother Awal, who will be seeking to support this e-levy thing. You know, I know he'll be seeking to support it. But he knows that it's a bad policy. It's a bad thing that his government is bringing. But for the cameras and for the sake of his party, he will be speaking to support it. But I don't think it will be fair if you do that. You know that policy, when it is in pass, you yourself, you will pay a lot. Your money, the money that you go around working for, they will be taking something from it, double-taxing you. So please, don't support it. Tell your people that it's a bad time.
I'll come back to you again, Rabo. Viewers, you're still watching Hot News Radio on Pan-African Television. Please share the Facebook Live for other people to also watch the ninth edition of the program. If you're watching us on Facebook, please share the Facebook Live for other people to also watch. Now let me come to you, Awal. Why is government behaving as if without the e-levy, this country will collapse?
Thank you so much.
Why would you want to force it down the throat of the good people of Ghana when they are not interested? They don't want it.
Thank you, Justice. Mm. He spoke for 22 minutes.
You can
but
go
if
ahead.
You even give me 15 minutes uninterrupted, I'll be happy.
I interrupted when he was actually speaking.
Okay.
So, but you can go ahead.
Before I go on, I have a brother by name Isahaku Junior Isaac,
right,
who is watching from WA.
Oh, wow.
He's celebrating his birthday today.
Right.
He's
happy
very
birthday
affable, great patriot, very committed to the work of the MPP. Isahaku Junior Isaac, happy birthday. May you live to be okay. So this is not a radio station for you to say 90-something for something. But thank
right.
you. May Allah bless you. I think there is no country in the world that has developed without taxes.
Mm.
And it is also a fact that taxes are never attractive anywhere in the world.
Okay.
There is nowhere in the world that you say you're imposing taxes that the people are happy and embrace it. There is nowhere in the world that people are happy to pay taxes. Even when you check the history of even Christianity and Islam, you could see that Jesus was sending people to go and pay their tithes, you remember?
Right.
And again, Prophet Muhammad, they were sending people to pay their taxes, which it started from then. So there's no way you say that taxes are very attractive. Ghanaians are paying taxes, but unfortunately, Ghanaians are the least in paying taxes the whole of Africa. When you check the statistics, we are 30 million Ghanaians, 30.8 million. Only 2.3 million pay direct taxes. Only 2.3 million, you and I who are in the formal sector, we are paying direct taxes, and we're just about 2.3 million. When you check our tax to GDP ratio, it is 12% to 13%. The highest it has gone has been 14% in 2018.
Mm.
So when you check, you will see that even the benchmark in Africa, it's around 18, 19, 20%.
Mm.
So you could see that Ghanaians are generally not paying taxes. Now, almost all the governments that have come, both NDC and NPP, will say, we'll expand the tax net. Just check all our manifestos. We'll say that we'll expand the tax net so that we'll get a lot more people to pay taxes. So how do you expand the tax net? You do it through these things. For instance, this e-levy. I am very happy that the Honorable MP is sitting here with a diary which has a new start on it. This is something that came out of the e-levy.
Mm.
We said that this e-levy, after it's been imposed, will get certain amount of money, like 6.9 billion. That 6.9 billion will be used for the youth staff. Those in his constituency who had completed tertiary institutions, those who have not even been to school, but they have some business ideas that they can generate businesses, and government will support them without collateral. So that is the youth staff that is on his diary here, the youth staff that the minister talked about. Again, he talked about the road tolls because it was there. Road tolls was generating only 79 million Ghana.
Mm.
And the rigmarole you pass through, especially he being an MP in the Upper West, he passed through not less than 5 or 6 toll booths before getting to where he is, even though I know they switch on their sirens. But there are places that you cannot switch on the siren and cross. Before the road minister removed the one at Kubeyase, he joined, when he saw the queue, he joined. He joined and got to, before he got to that place, from the custom barrier to the Kubeyase toll booth, he spent 40 minutes. The following day, he had to let them remove it because you spend 2 hours to get there, just 30 minutes to get to Kumasi. You spend 40 minutes there, then you still spend 30 minutes to go there. So the productive hours that go because of this thing that is not generating enough for us to fix our roads. So we said this e-levy will be also be able to channel through the fixing of our roads so that these, the rigmarole that we go through and these delays that we go through in using the toll booths will also be taken off. So if you check these statistics and if you look at a country like Ghana, I believe in expanding the tax net, if you need more from government, in expanding the tax net, these are taxes that will come that every Ghanaian will be able to pay. He says they are taxing income. The money that is left in the account too is being taxed. I think that's one of the reasons why the minister and the information minister are moving around doing the town hall meetings, because a lot of misinformation from people who are supposed to even educate people on it. This is a transaction levy. If your money is sitting in your account, no one will tax it. If you even send it to someone and he's withdrawing, even if it is 10,000 cedis withdrawal, no one will be able to deduct anything. It is not part of it. It is the convenience that you sit at home and do the transaction that government is saying that let's get something small from that convenience.
Why should government get something small from
that? Because the government has invested.
The platform is not provided by government.
Government provided that platform.
You mean that if I'm transferring money from my MTN mobile money account to another MTN, which is a service provided to me by MTN, you are saying that government has provided a platform. How did government provide that platform?
The fiber optic backbone is for Ghana before they even can connect. Again, the investment in the interoperability, again, the investment in the lines that went through the Eastern Corridor roads. Government had incurred a lot of cost in building these things so that the telcos can build upon it and give the service.
Well, the argument is
so
that
government
spent
on it.
You tax income, but you don't tax capital.
We are taxing transactions.
Wait a minute, but in whilst taxing transaction, you are still taxing somebody's capital because the
it is not a capital.
Wait a minute.
The capital is certain.
So
the person sits at home and feels that I will want to. Instead of me going to send the thing to someone,
allow me spend it.
You have asked the question. I'm saying that instead of me going somewhere, I can sit in the comfort of my room and still send it.
So
government is saying that let's get something out of it.
Now,
again,
wait a minute. No, let me finish asking my question. Now, wow, my mother who lives in the village, she's a trader. Now, she wants to purchase something from, you know, from probably a place or someone.
Mm.
And she would want to pay with mobile money, right?
Yes.
My mother has sent 5,000 Ghana cedis to the person. She is going to be deducted out of that 5,000 Ghana cedis.
I'm telling you, whoever is able to send 10,000 or 5,000.
Wait a minute. Wait
in
a minute.
The village, which mobile money vendor
she
can we be able to?
She is a trader.
Ghana is not only Accra and Kumasi. I'm telling you, in the village, there is no trader that can send that amount of money.
You are not supposed to tax that money.
I'm telling you that. I am telling you that. It is not a business capital. It is something that the person has engaged in a transaction
once
that
again,
government has spent on it.
You are, you know, you are in the formal sector.
Yes.
Right? You have received your salary.
Yes.
Where you have been taxed from source.
Because
you know,
I am supposed to be taxed.
You have been deducted from source.
Yes.
So you have already paid tax on your salary. You have decided to put, the rest of your money on your wallet.
Yes.
You know, in order to do some transactions. And that same money...
Why will I put my money on my wallet again when all the banks in this country today...
But if you're even...
Listen. But you have asked a question. Almost all the banks in this country have the mobile money thing that I can send direct instead of sending it to my wallet and doing another transaction again.
You are charged. Are you not charged?
It is the bank that charges. And there is an amount of money that you pay for it. So you are happy that MTN from South Africa will get 1%, whilst government is saying I need 1.5% to provide the routes over there, and you are saying that is wrong. Is that what you mean?
Lazy in coming up with innovation.
Tell us any innovative way that we can collect revenue that every Ghanaian will pay. If you have, you give us alternatives.
Oh, Dr. Mahmoud Obama, your vice president,
when you talk about
said that
it is out of the ingenuity. It is out of the ingenuity. That is why. No, he didn't say that.
But what did
you are misquoting
say?
Him. He says that as he sits that day, he feels that mobile money shouldn't be taxed because a lot of people at the bottom end
are
doing it. And now the poor and the vulnerable are being exempt.
How are they being exempt?
Because if you are able to send 3,000 cedis within the month, you are exempt. Because all the transactions that you do, and if you tell me that the poor people in the village can sell more than 3,000 cedis for them to pay the taxes, then they are not poor. Because according to the World Bank, the UN, and almost all the definitions, they did the survey here in Ghana, and they are saying that a poor person is classified as someone who cannot live above a dollar a day. How much is a dollar? 60. Yes.
It's 6.4.
Okay. Get it 7. They said people who can live above $1. And again, if you look at the housing survey by Statistical Service, 9.2 million Ghanaians cannot live above $1 a day. So the poor and the vulnerable have been exempted.
A simple scenario once again. I'm here. I have sent 600 Ghana to my mother in the village. Right? I have been charged. Okay?
Yes.
My younger sister...
If she added that if she's to withdraw the entire 600, she will not pay anything except the charges from the telephone.
My mother wouldn't withdraw the 600.
She'll leave it on.
But my mother, after sending the 600 cedis to her, decided to send 200 cedis to my sister in school. She's going to be charged.
Yes.
Does that mean that my mother is rich?
She is doing a transaction.
Why must she be charged?
And she will be charged because initially she will have to walk.
But I was already
to that
charged.
Place or
I
pick a car. She is supposed
to
pick
to
a car to
the
that
same
place
money
and give that money.
The same money is being taxed twice.
If she is to withdraw everything to herself, she will not pay anything.
And I'm saying that I have sent 600 Ghana cedis to my mother. My mother, after receiving the money, wanted to send 200 cedis to my sister.
Mm.
When you had already charged me after sending it to my mother,
MTN
you were charging
would,
her again.
MTN charged
money.
You for sending it. If she is to withdraw, MTN will charge for the withdrawal. Government is not charging for the withdrawal. When she is to even send it to your sister, MTN will still charge her.
But Vodafone is not doing that for the transaction. Why will you still remain at MTN?
When Vodafone, when you send to any other network because of the interoperability that was built by government, it is free. Why will you go on MTN?
Prior to the 2016
election. I'm saying that Vodafone is saying that when you send, it's free.
Mm.
Now MTN, when you send, it's 1%. They are saying that because of the e-levy, they are taking 2.5% out of it. So well, the 1.5% that we're talking about is not actually 1.5 because the telcos had taken 2.5 out of the 1.5. So it is now 1.25. And I'm telling you for a fact that if we all move to Vodafone, they will also have to absorb it. I'm telling
what,
you this.
What is
because
this?
The only thing is that the competition will move to Vodafone.
Right. But prior to the 2016 election, we've had several promises from the New Patriotic Party.
Yes.
Now you are in government. One of the promises I can vividly recall is that you told the good people of Ghana that when you are voted for, you would change this country from taxation
to
production.
Production. Yes.
Well, everyone would have expected that the New Patriotic Party or a New Patriotic Party government would shy away from introducing taxes and focus more on production. Is that what you are doing?
Governance is not an event, it's a process. Again, when we came in, we removed 17 different taxes that
but
we think they were nuisance.
You have introduced e-levy, increased some
yes,
of the taxes.
Because
you don't believe in
as I told you,
taxes.
As
you
I told you, governance,
economy.
governance is a gradual process, not an event. Before you move the country from taxation to production, you only have to do it gradually. In doing it gradually, that is the reason why we're doing the industrialization. The one district, one factory is on course. And that is the production that we're talking about. If we're able to move the one district and get a lot more districts to have factories, it means we'll move to production more than the taxation. But at this point in time, when all economies in the world have been ravaged by this COVID-19, the only thing any country can do is to look at a genuine way of trying to mobilize some revenue so that they are able to support the youth. That is why we started with this
money during COVID.
And we and up to now, a lot of things are not happening, but we're still not in arrears. We're still paying workers. We received a lot of money in this country, but workers were sat at home for 8 months, but not a single man that government default in paying them. It should tell you that we received, but we spent. We bought a lot of things, the buckets, the other things that we bought to fight COVID. And we're one of the best countries in terms of fighting COVID. We used money
no
to do that.
No two ways about that. You
that
borrowed
is money.
Money.
It is money. It is money that we used. That is a lie. That is a lie. That is an egregious lie.
Mm.
Because let me tell you the statistics. When NDC was taking power, it was 9 billion. Our total debt stock was 9 billion.
Okay.
They moved it to 122 billion,
okay,
which is over 500% increment.
From 122,
122 to 344. Check.
Subtract 122 from 344.
Check the percentage. You could see that
oh,
it's
no,
100%.
Why are you not talking about the nominal figures?
The nominal figures should tell you that the 122%, 122 that we made.
If
even
you take 122 from 344,
mm-hmm,
what will be the remainder?
So the remainder is not all borrowing. It is the accrual of the interest.
How much
of the 122.
You borrowed?
Get it. Get this clear. If 122 that you met, it is even 10% interest that we have been paying for the six years. Tell me how much will that be? Around 70 billion. So if you hear people lie through their teeth and tell you that this government has borrowed more than any other government, they do not know the statistics. I'm telling you.
Our,
between 9 billion
our,
and
122 billion.
I know that. If
you're telling me that.
I know that.
Stupendous ignorance.
Listen. I know that if you take 122 out of 344,
yes,
you will be left with 222 billion. Is
yes.
that not it?
Yes.
How much have you borrowed out of the 222 billion? Tell us.
As I said,
no.
Yes.
For the past 5 years, how much have you borrowed out of the
222
billion?
The MP will be
billion?
The best person to tell you because there is no single transaction that didn't pass through.
And
finance.
I'm saying that what I know
I
is
am
that
telling
you have borrowed
222
billion.
That is
billion.
A lie, and I'm telling you that is a lie because
but
even the MP will
that,
tell
yeah.
you that the interest that we have been paying. On the 122 alone,
what was the interest on the 122? You should be able to tell us so that we know how much you have borrowed.
Even if it is 10%, it's around 70 billion.
I see. But you are not even factual. You don't know whether it's... But I'm saying that as far as anybody is concerned and as far as we know,
so
and that this government...
When it's debt to GDP ratio...
You don't want to talk about the nominal figures, but you're talking about...
Why will I talk about the nominal figures? Because that the value of this economy is 3-4 times fold what the NDC left.
I see.
So if you have a store which has...
But I thought that you said you won't borrow, and that borrowing
and
is a
we
lazy
have built
approach.
This economy.
Are you lazy
threefold.
By borrowing and all
we
of that?
We have built this economy threefold.
Oh, wow.
So what
these
will
were
help
some of the
you
things
is
we
that
had
I am telling you that what
election.
Will help you is that let's look at the percentage in terms
no,
of ink.
Let's also
in
look. Let's
the,
also look at how much you have borrowed.
Borrowing.
Let's also look at how much interest we have accrued. On the 122 billion,
let's
so that we
time,
know how much
you
have bought.
Let's fight time.
But
I have to go and
you
check
are,
all the because it's in
you
the
are
budget that we have.
222 billion. So tell us how much you have bought.
I am telling you that this is someone who is sitting here, who is an MP, who will tell you that it is not true that it's 244 because it's not everything. Because all you say the total debt stock is 2344. So if it's 344, it means. That the entire 240 something.
You are unable to tell us how much you borrowed out of the 222 billion.
That is not it.
Okay,
when
so
you read our budget today, you
admitted,
will know an amount of money that
admitted
is even
and agreed
into
that the
222
billion
yes.
comprises of you know interest accrued on the 122 borrowed.
Yes.
How much have you borrowed out of the 222 billion?
I cannot really tell you right now because we did not even talk about thinking. We did not really. We're not discussing. The total debt stock. We can find time and come
right.
to talk about debt.
Right. My final. I'll come to you. I'll come back to you. My final question to you, Awal, is that we all know that the estimated amount
yes.
we are supposed to get from this e-levy of a thing is 6.9 billion
yes.
or at most 7
yes.
billion.
Yes.
That is a projected amount. We don't even know if we are going to get it mm. and all of that. What would that do for this country as
yes.
compared to the amount of money you have borrowed in running this country?
Yes, so let me tell you what it will do. We believe that every year close to 300,000 youth are churned out into the market,
mm.
job market. Government over the years is able to take only 5,000 to 6,000 every year. We are saying that out of our ingenuity, let's find the youth who are interested in doing business, entrepreneurship. Let's support them without collateral so that they are able to employ their fellow colleagues who will be out of the school or who will be looking for jobs. So that is what that money is going to
right.
do. Again, the 79 million that we've been getting from the toll booth, now we are not getting because we have suspended.
But
it.
Who asked you to suspend
we,
it?
We did that because we feel that the productive time that we spend in the toll booth, we have to take that off
it has
and
not
make
changed.
Sure that
it has not changed.
It has
never
changed.
It has never changed.
Changed because go, now,
you,
when I drive to Kumasi,
when
to Kumasi,
when
I spend
you,
2 hours, 45
when
minutes
last,
to Kumasi.
When last did you use the Kasua Road?
I am not talking about Kasua because I don't use Kasua
no,
more. I
not,
use Kumasi Road.
Changed.
In Kumasi, when I'm going to Kumasi, I spend 4 hours. Today, when you're going to Kumasi because of the dualization between Apenkwa and in Sawam, that this government has done.
You mean that Apeja and Sawam?
Yes, has been dualized.
Okay, you said Apenkwa,
okay,
but
yes,
Apeja
yes,
and,
Apeja and Sawam
right.
has been dualized yeah. by this mm. government. And again, these two or three toll booths has been removed. 2 hours, 45 minutes, I drive to Kumasi.
I see. I'll try that. I'll try that. When next I'll go, I'll come to Kumasi anyway and see if I'll use 2 hours 30 minutes.
I didn't say 2 hours 30 minutes. I said 2 hours 40 minutes.
All right, okay, let me come
3 hours for me, Kumasi.
Right. I can understand the difficulty of my good friend.
I'm happy. I will have to take this diary.
Trying to defend it.
Let your camera show it.
Right.
You know, well, the camera man.
The reality is, I hear many communicators of the MPP. And
right.
Good people or senior members of the party talking about the fact that if you can send 100 Ghana cedis, it means you are not poor.
Yes.
What they don't also
of
know.
Of course.
Somebody can borrow or can even beg for 100 Ghana cedis to send to the child to pay for her medical or you understand. Then you will tax that money and you claim that the person is not poor.
Mm.
That is not fair to the poor Ghana.
Not 100
cedis. If I borrow 100 cedis and send, you will not be charged anything.
Let's just be.
What I'm just trying to say is that there is the saying that karma is real. It has come to hand Nana Akufo-Addo and Bawumia.
I see.
John Dramani Mahama, His Excellency, said that posterity will be my judge.
Mm.
And in fact, today, when I see John Dramani Mahama, I see an angel walking. And many Ghanaians see him as an angel, a magician, somebody who came wholeheartedly to transform this country, who came, he has record in education, infrastructure, also in the health sector, all sectors of the economy. He ensured that, look, you're talking of payment of salary. Which government has never paid salaries?
Mm.
Every government, there's no be any man that will get
borrowed before you could pay.
You understand? Because there's no government has come and has not been
they
able
no
to pay salary. You understand? What I'm trying to just say is that we are discussing e-levy. Ghanaians are saying that it's a bad levy.
Mm.
It's a bad policy. What is the rationale behind e-levy? What is it? You just want to steal money from people's income. That's people's income. That's all of it. You understand? What's the rationale behind e-levy? What's the policy behind e-levy? Justice. If you say get fund, there's a policy behind get fund.
Yes.
If you say ESLA, there's a reasoning behind ESLA. Ghanaians discussed it and saw that there was a need to bring such such tax. And they brought it. You understand? And they are not taxing incomes. They are taxing profits and all of that. Now, this policy, e-levy, like I was telling you, it's a levy. It's not a tax. So you go into my money that I have worked for and money that have been taxed before, then you want to tax it again. It's a lazy way of making money.
Not your money that is sitting somewhere.
It is.
And then the NDC, we were paying 17.5% of our money sitting in the account.
Listen.
You remember we came and acknowledged that.
Listen. What your government sought to do, the major disadvantage of e-levy is that apart from stealing from the poor taxpayer or the poor people, taxing them, double taxing them, is going to serve as a disincentive for people to save their money, because people will want to avoid being taxed.
Mm.
So you are going to encourage people from keeping their monies in their homes, and you know the consequences.
Right.
Armed robbery will arise. You understand? Many people, there will be armed robbery will increase and all of that. So please, tell your people that it's a bad policy. It's a bad thing. They shouldn't do it. Ghanaians are saying that there are better ways. Why would you scrap toll roads? Let me tell you one thing. We have constructed our roads with our taxes. Every day, me, where I come from, Jirapa, the roads, Burkina Faso cars, articulators will load and plow these roads. You are saying that they shouldn't pay anything.
They are paying.
You are saying they shouldn't pay anything. Let them pay the tolls. What are they paying?
They pay at
what
the
are
port.
They paying? What do they pay at the port?
Just at the port. But
it's just at the port. What do they pay at the port, Justice? It's a goose that are taxed at the port. But now you are saying that they should plow on our roads free without paying anything. And you know how heavy those trucks are. What do goose they carry? These trucks will damage our roads. At least they should be able to pay something.
They
should be able to pay something. So please, you people should go back to it. I heard the road minister saying that they are contemplating going back to it. And I think it will be better for all of us. You understand? Justice,
Ilevi and the Bruhaha in parliament. In fact, one thing I want to use this platform to encourage many Ghanaians that they should jump onto the street and support the minority 137 MPs to put pressure on government to drop the e-levy. They should not sit down and be watching the MPs alone. We are just 137. If the MPP is able to bring their 138, they will come and pass the e-levy. They will come and pass it. Justice. If Mr. Speaker is presiding and they are able to mobilize their 138 and they come and they vote and they have 138, e-levy would have been passed. So I'm saying that Ghanaians should not rely on the NDC minority 137 alone to fight this fight. They should, look, I expect to see the religious groups, the unions, and all of that, closer, everybody, the clergy, they should speak against it. The traditional leaders should speak against it.
Yeah.
It's a bad policy. It's a bad policy.
Right.
You're just bringing,
you are bringing
a policy or something to just siphon monies from people. That is a bad justice.
Okay.
It's just like, I have my money in my pocket, okay? I have my money in my pocket.
Mm.
Then you go and put a barrier here. A barrier. Then you are standing there and you are saying that if I'm to pass, you will search my pocket, whatever that I have, I should drop something and pass. You haven't done anything for me. You understand? You've not done anything. It's my money. It's my money that is in my pocket.
Anyway.
Then you are putting your hand inside my pocket to forcibly remove money from my pocket. That is what government is trying to do. That is all about e-levy. The Bruhaha in parliament, we are not interested in it.
Right.
Look, if you look at our bench, our front bench,
I'll give you the example.
There are gentlemen and women. You understand?
Right.
Nobody, like I said earlier, nobody. I will not come from Jirapa. The Jirapa is made up of very discerning citizens.
Mm.
They ask me to represent them. So I won't come to parliament to come and exchange blows. It's not a place, it's not a jungle. You understand? But my worry is that when learned lawyers, mature people who understand the constitution very well, who are in parliament for many times, and they know the rules of the game, then you want to throw the standing orders to the dogs. You want to throw the constitution to the gutters. What will not happen? What do you think will not happen? That is my concern.
Mm.
So I'm saying that the President Nanado should caution, if you want to pass e-levy, by all means, by crook or whatever means that you think you want to, you will use to pass e-levy. But let's be mindful that, look, our democracy is centered around parliament.
There.
Without parliament, there is no democracy.
There.
So if we destroy parliament as an institution, and let me also add that those who keep on insulting the Speaker of Parliament, look, Speaker is not the chief whip of the majority party. He's not the chief whip. Speaker is not somebody, he's not the one to tell NDC MPs to come to parliament. He's not the one to tell NPP MPs to come to parliament. That is not his mandate.
Okay.
His mandate is to preside over debate. His mandate is to preside in the business of the house. That is his mandate.
Right.
So if you fail to mobilize your people, if you fail to mobilize your people into the chamber, don't tend to blame him that he is sabotaging government business. Let me just add that on Friday, he was to travel to Dubai for medical review.
Right.
But he said that, look, I am ready to sit. Let me preside. Bring the e-leviton. Mobilize your people and come. I'm coming to preside. They think that it's a strategy when he's not there and one of the MPP deputy speakers is to sit. It's reducing their number. So he's saying that I'm available. Bring your people. Let me preside. Mobilize your 138 to come and vote for e-levy so that all of us will rest. Speaker was in his office 8 a.m. on Friday.
Yeah.
Up to 4:30, the majority could not mobilize their people for us to start the business of the day. They could not. We started business of the day around 6 p.m. on Friday. When they realized that they were not having the numbers, then they mellow and they signaled that we should adjourn. That's the reason why we could not take the e-levy thing on Friday.
All right,
so
right.
You turn around to blame the Speaker. What has the Speaker done?
Thank you so much. Praise yourself for drop the e-levy demo. It is coming on.
That's what Pan-African is organizing.
Yeah. Right? Nobody is organizing it.
Honorable, I am completely shocked that Honorable is asking the rationale behind e-levy. When you have the full legislation before you in Parliament that says that we'll do use that.
We will fix our roads. We will buy buses out of it. And it's tight, just like the get fund that you're talking about. It's just the same thing. There is a rationale behind it.
Okay.
What he is doing, the way he was just doing, throwing his hands and so on, it reminded me of 2007, when Communication Service Act was introduced by President Kufuor to do youth employment, the current youth employment that you have. They said they opposed it, went to demonstrate against the Communication Service Act. When they won the elections in 2009, they changed the name of youth employment, used the same amount that is going to youth employment, created JIDA, and squandered the money to the extent that some people even went to jail for it. So if the NDC people tell you that, don't do this, tomorrow they will come and be the beneficiaries and they will even squander the money. This is the same thing they did in 2007 when they said we shouldn't introduce the talk tax. When Kufuor said, let's do some talk tax so that at least some youth will get employment, they said they will not accept it. Today, Akufo-Addo is saying that let's do e-levy so that we'll be able to get the youth to get employment. They are still saying no. So Ghanaians should judge them from that. Again, Haruna Idrisu said it clearly that he, as majority leader, minority leader, is not against the e-levy. Okay. He says 1% should be enough. Now, do you know the reason why he's quiet? The other people are making noise because his integrity is very important to him. He told the people of this country at a conference that the e-levy, they are not against the e-levy because it is taxes that we use to develop any country. But he feels that 1.75 is too much. 1% should be okay. Now, Haruna Idrisu is quiet looking at them. I think the program, the town hall meeting that the finance minister is doing will be able to help cure all the mischief for Ghanaians to really understand what entails in it. Because if today I am being taken 1.5%, and tomorrow my junior brother who is in UDSY campus, now I've forgotten the name of the institution now.
UBIS.
Will complete school, and there will be an accumulation of this amount of money to be given to him to start a business. I'll be happy to pay that money. Rather than say,
how
don't pay that one.
Count for this one.
Because it is a tied levy. It is tied to something. It is tied to USAF. It is tied to roads. Just like Get Fund is tied to infrastructure. It is not something that you pay into consolidated account that you say that accounting for it will be difficult.
Right.
This is something that is tied. So definitely you can account for it easily.
Very
just
right.
Like communication services.
That's
you know 80% of that amount of money goes to youth employment. And it goes. And that's the reason I am sitting here as PRO, because I'm paid from the communication service tax.
Very well.
So I will be happy that
well,
one day...
Are you paying them?
We're paying them.
But you are
right.
In arrears.
Right. We're not in arrears.
We have to go.
We can be in arrears for 1 month. That's not the question.
We are in arrears.
So
if really Kufuor is able to introduce stock tax, which is 1 peswa, those days, and NDC opposed it, and now we are able to get a lot of the youth to get employment opportunities, I am still upbeat that this e-levy will still be able to do something, some magic, for the youth of this country
right.
to get employment
of right, thank you so much. But viewers, allow me to clear this. There was a big, issue, argument between myself and Awao, where I suggested that they have borrowed more than any other government in the history of Ghana. And they said that was a palpable falsehood.
Yes.
Okay, I would want to clear that. And the total debt, I mean, as it stands now, is...
You don't use the nominal wages in economic analysis.
300 and...
You use percentage. It was
anyway,
it was 9 billion.
I don't want to continue anymore.
It was 9 billion
to,
under Kufuor. You moved it to 122 billion. Your NDC moved it to 122 billion.
I'm not an NDC.
Now,
sorry,
no, I said the NDC. Okay, the NDC.
Aside.
Then it's now 344.
Right.
It's an accumulation
anyway,
of... 10%
if it takes 122,
you don't use nominal figures to do
you
this.
You have 222 billion. You said
that 222 billion
is as a matter of fact, interest accrued on the previous
part of it.
But if
that's why MP is not even talking about.
Oh wait a minute, you said even if.
It is 10%, it's around 70 billion.
Take 70 billion out of 222 billion. You are still born.
So you look at the value of the economy first.
This is what time will last. We'll get back with that same time.
You look at the value of the economy.
My name is Justice Appiah, the show. Have me on this. Goodbye.
A bit of a station break. I'm not sure what happened to the clip. It should be the hot news playing now.
It's the first day of February 2022. Hello there, good afternoon. This is Pan-African Television News. We are live across 46 African countries and some parts of Europe. We are live on Facebook at the moment at Pan-African Television. Top of the headlines. National Democratic Congress holds third commemoration for Ayawaso West Wigon by election violence. Victims demands accountability and compensation from government. Also coming up, Education Ministry aims at students with special skills, a move aimed at nurturing hidden talents for national development. We'll bring you details of that shortly. Butter sellers lament low patronage, fear losing investment capital. Details of these stories and many more coming up in the next 1 hour. Don't go anywhere. Thank you for choosing to stay with us. This is Pan-African Television News. My name is Ivy Abnadide Nakite. We are live 48 Swanika Street of Olympia, Accra, Ghana. Now, the news in detail. The National Democratic Congress, NDC, has held the third commemoration ceremony for the victims of Ayawaso West Wigon by election violence. Speaking at the event, Member of Parliament for Ningopam-Pram constituency, Sam Nati George, chastised the Akufo-Addo-led government for failing to punish perpetrators of the violence. This, he said, contributed to the killing of some 8 people during the 2020 general elections.
Is by no way over at all. I heard Ambassador Sampiali talk about forgiveness. It is human to err, it is divine to forgive. We believe that God will forgive the perpetrators. But thankfully we are not God, we are human beings. So God could forgive them if they seek for mercy and forgiveness from him. But we will never forget. No matter how long it takes, we will seek justice. And let everyone who was part of Ayawaso West Wigon know that the day of justice is coming. That morning, myself and 20 other members of parliament were asked by the party to act as zonal coordinators. That was our only offense. I was given the EC accreditations to go around and hand over to our monitors on the ground. How handing out of cards by the EC accreditation cards could amount to the brutalization of an armed Ghanaian citizen by thugs and hoodlums who had been put together by the national security apparatus and unleashed to wreak havoc. It was premeditated, it was planned, it was not spontaneous, it was not accidental. They had met, they had planned it, and they executed it. And for them, it was a trial run before the 2020 election. Because this country kept quiet, because it was NDC people, the whole country went quiet, decided to sweep it under the carpet. We saw that I also went to work on, they injured people. But during the December 7th election, they killed people. And they were able to go ahead and kill 8 people because when they had 8 people in Ayaraso West Wagon, we did not demand justice. When the people keep silent for the oppressor grows in his oppression. But our national anthem enjoins us to resist oppressor's rule. And President Akufo-Addo is the oppressor-in-chief of this country. And we must all rise up and resist him and all appointees of his who act in ways that undermine the constitution of this republic. We have heard reports from the commission. They set up a commission. And the people they set up in the commission were not NDC members. President Akufo-Addo himself handpicked people he believed had the competence to do the job that he had asked them to do. He picked the former IGP of police under the NPP administration, Mr. Patrick Ike Achampo. He was IGP when Akufo-Addo was Attorney General and was working with him in criminal prosecution, so he knew his competence. He picked Justice Emil Schultz, who had been at SRAJ. He knows his competence. He picked Professor Henrietta Mensah-Mbosu, who he, President Akufo-Addo, has appointed to the Supreme Court. If she wasn't a lawyer worth her salt, he wouldn't have appointed her to the Supreme Court. He gave them an assignment to do. And that assignment was to go there and cover up the activities of Ayaraso West Wagon. We've all read the public terms of reference. And I can read, because the media is here, I will read it. So that people know that when we speak, we know what we're talking about. These are the terms of reference that were put out by Mr. Eugene Ahin at the office of the president. The commission is expected to make a full, faithful, and impartial inquiry into the circumstances of and establish the facts leading to the events and associated violence during the Ayaraso West Wagon by election, to identify any person responsible for or who had been involved in the event, the associated violence and injuries, to inquire into any matter which is considered incidental or reasonably related to the causes of the event and the associated violence and injuries, to submit within 1 month its report to the president, giving reasons for its findings and recommendations, including appropriate sanctions if any. These were the official terms of reference. But I believe there were unofficial terms of reference to go and cover up the activities of the national security staff and hoodlums. And that is what they started doing when we started watching the commission. When you saw the likes of Kenelopoku come there and lie about the things that happened. When you saw the likes of Brandon Champon come there and lie about the things that happened. You saw DSP Azugu come there and lie about the things which happened. Until the day that I appeared before that commission and went there with the pictures and footage from you, the media, and told the story as it happened.
Also speaking at the event, managing editor of the Insight newspaper, Comrade Kwesi Pratt Jr., opined that leaders who introduce violence in elections subvert democracy and the will of the people. He therefore called on Kenyans to take responsibility of their future and protect the nation's democracy in light of the political insecurity in the sub-region.
Because those who introduce violence into our politics subvert democracy. Those who introduce violence into the politics, they rig elections. Introducing violence into elections is like rigging elections. Because you introduce violence into elections in order to intimidate people to run away, not to take part in the election. You introduce violence into the election for you to do the things that are against the law. You introduce violence into the election when you are afraid of the true mandate of the people. So those who introduce violence into our politics, into our elections, are criminals. Those who introduce violence into our politics, into our elections and so on, subvert the will of the people. Those who introduce violence into our politics are determined to wreck this nation, and they must never be allowed to succeed. Today, on this ground, to my left, are victims of what happened at Ayaraso West Wagon. Some of them 3 years later cannot walk. Some of them are incapable of working to earn a decent living. Some of them, their dependents are suffering. Some of them, their dependents are not able to go to school. Some of them are struggling to feed themselves and their dependents. Some of them are in constant pain. They have been in pain for 3 long years. If you are a Ghanaian and you don't rise up and speak about the pain of those victims, I don't know what kind of Ghanaian you are. If you are a Ghanaian and for the sake of partisan politics, you don't stand up to fight for these victims, then something is wrong. So every Ghanaian, no matter who you are, no matter what political party you belong to, no matter your religious orientation, we all have a responsibility to stand up and fight for these victims. And we all have a responsibility to struggle to build that new society in which what happened at Ayawaso West Mogon would never, never happen again. That is our responsibility. You see, there are people in our society who have refused to learn from history. And if you refuse to learn from history, you get confused not just about your past, but you also get confused about your present and your future. Because if you are learning from history, it will be obvious to us that those who sought to use violence as a means of capturing power should have known that they have failed throughout the ages. They will always fail. And those who use violence at the Ayawaso West of all will fail and fail and fail again. No matter what they do. In the struggle for independence and afterwards, we saw the bombing spree that was embarked upon by elements of the Dankwa Busia tradition. We saw Malam Tula. We saw the innocent school children who were killed in these explosions. We saw the attempt to kill Osadipo Dr. Kwame Nkrumah at Kolongugu and all of that. Where did it take them? If you take our history, throughout our history, how long have they managed to stay in power in spite of that violence? Take our history. Take our history. How long have they managed to stay in power in spite of that violence? So that violence is useless. It doesn't pay. And indeed, that violence can lead to greater catastrophe. Today, as we speak on this ground, look at the number of coup d'etats that are happening in West Africa. Look at the number of coup d'etats that are happening in West Africa. Every time it happens, ECOWAS and ECOWAS leaders impose sanctions. After a few months, another one happens. They impose sanctions. Nobody gives a damn. Another one happens. So those sanctions are not the things which will prevent coup d'etats from happening in Africa or anywhere in the world. If our democracy does not solve the security problems of our population, if our democracy does not put food on the table, if our democracy does not provide jobs and so on, that democracy cannot be sustained.
Away from that, the Education Minister, Dr. Yawosei Educhum, has assured Ghanaians that the e-block started by the Mahama administration will be completed and operationalized soon. According to him, plans are being put in place to add dormitories to the e-blocks.
Consultation going on now for the introduction of gifted and talented education in Ghana. Gifted individuals are the ones with those high IQs, high achieving. Talented are the ones who have certain skill, natural, born traits. They can sing, they can dance, they can draw, do so many things. In other countries, they focus on them and make sure they have their special classrooms or special schools. So as you take care of children with learning challenges, You also have to take care of children who are high achieving. And in most places, they put them together with children who have learning challenges because they think that if you do not take a good care of a student who is gifted, they may go wayward. Because they sit in the classroom, and to them, the Ghanaian classroom is the most boring place. That child is sitting there, he has different ways of solving the problem. And he can't sit still because he can't wait. His hand is up, and her hand is up. And the teacher is saying, sir, can we do it differently? No, this is what I'm teaching you. Those children are miserable. They have a new way. But our system does not support the new way. In research, it is identified that 10% of every population is gifted or talented. 10%. So some countries have capitalized on that. Hong Kong, United States, South Korea, and said, hey, if these 10% have natural born traits and research is showing that they are talented or gifted, why don't we give them special attention so that they will be the ones that will innovate and develop our nation? And those countries that have done that have seen innovation going through the roof. These are talented, gifted individuals just sitting there and saying, can you help me? Can you allow my talent to come out so that we have to leapfrog? So there are certain things that underpin what you see at the Ministry of Education. The sense of urgency is about how do we catch up with the rest of the world? How do we create a more robust education system that will stand the test of time? How do we bridge performance gaps between the north and south of the country? If you're a minister for education and look at the achievement data of the northern regions plus OT and Volta region and compare it to the south, you go to bed and you want to wake up early to look at what you can do about it. It's not good that in some regions only 3% of the students are pursuing science. In others, it's about 12 to 15%. Things have to change. So this is the sense of urgency that we come with. When we talk about junior high school transformation, when we talk about engaging our stakeholders in order to ensure that we can improve learning outcomes, it's all about making sure that we have an education system that stands the test of time. When we talk about introducing STEM education and constructing high schools focusing on STEM, it's about how do we make sure that our children have the skill set to operate in the 21st century as we talk about the fourth industrial revolution and what they need to do and need to know. So this year I'm excited that we're going to open 6 new schools focusing on STEM. The rest of the STEM schools will be completed will be opened in 2023. In the midst of all this, we're also going to open 4 operationalized 4 e-blocks. So for all those who say we've abandoned them, no, we've been opening it every year. But today I'm announcing it to the good people of Ghana that if one government invests, another government will come and continue because after all, it's the money of the people of Ghana. I've always been on record as saying that the e-blocks, where they were located in urban areas, were the best investment any government could make. You go to Domeko Abinya, the e-block that was placed there is packed with students. We've added a 2-story block and it's full. GMPC has built a 6 classroom block. It's also full. Excellent location. But when I go to the e-block, located at Drobonso, 2 miles away from Drobonso town, no electricity in the middle of the forest. And I say that this is Drobonso Community Senior High School. Something is wrong. So the president directed that we needed to add dormitory blocks. As I speak with you, I've been told that we are at about 95% completion and we are pushing to get the girls' dormitory and boys' dormitory all completed so that we can open the school. So when you hear about people saying you've abandoned them, we attempted to open Drobonso. The 3 students that went there cried their hearts out. We had to go and evacuate them and take them to Chinubu Akudia. Saura Community Senior High School, beautiful school, But children are coming from villages walking, and those who can't walk back to their villages have to find a family member to stay with, all the challenges, especially for the girls. So the government once again said, why don't we put dormitory blocks? I'm happy to inform you that now we have a girls' dorm completed. The students will be in April 4th. And that will be a watershed moment for that school, because now it's a boarding school. So it's no longer going to be called community day school. Same is being done. We are doing the same at a number of community senior high schools so that it could be operationalized well, so that the students will not have to go through the aggravation of having to find family members to stay with. So, I want you to know that Ebros have not been abandoned. There were 200 Ebros that were going to be built. 124 was started, very good. After the 124, 23 had dedicated source of funds from the World Bank through the Secondary Education Improvement Project. All of them have been completed. The rest of them, budgetary allocations, were supposed to be year by year, so that when there's some money, you can do something. Consequently, some of them have not been done. And I know that so far the President is concerned, has directed us that within our budgetary constraint, we should complete as many as possible. And you have heard that we're going to operationalize some of them.
The minister also reviews government's plans and commitment to enhancing the quality of education given to school children with special God-given skills. Now, he explained that school children with such skills grow up and nurtured to enable the country benefit from their talents due to lack of appropriate educational systems and facilities.
Stakeholder consultation going on now for the introduction of gifted and talented education in Ghana. Gifted individuals are the ones with those high IQs, high achieving. Talented are the ones who have certain skill, natural, born traits. They can sing, they can dance, they can draw, do so many things. In other countries, they focus on them and make sure they have their special classrooms or special schools. So as you take care of children with learning challenges, you also have to take care of children who are high achieving. And in most places, they put them together with children who have learning challenges, because they think that if you do not take a good care of a student who is gifted, they may go wayward. Because they sit in the classroom, and to them, the Ghanaian classroom is the most boring place. That child is sitting there, he has different ways of solving the problem. And he can't sit still, because he can't wait. His hand is up, and her hand is up. And the teacher is saying, sir, can we do it differently? No, this is what I'm teaching you. Those children are miserable. They have a new way, but our system does not support the new way. In research, it is identified that 10% of every population is gifted or talented. 10%. So some countries have capitalized on that, Hong Kong, United States, South Korea, and said, hey, if these 10% have natural born traits and research is showing that they are talented or gifted, why don't we give them special attention so that they will be the ones that will innovate and develop our nation? And those countries that have done that have seen innovation going through the roof. These are talented, gifted individuals just sitting there and saying, can you help me? Can you allow my talent to come out so that I can help this nation? And because you are not doing this in the classroom, I'm stepping out, I'm going to do my solar powered bike just from my head. So imagine if somebody was guiding him. That student would have developed something even more advanced than the solar powered bike. That is where education should be, and stakeholder consultations are ongoing, consulting many people with great ideas in that space to ensure that we can come to a point that we have gate schools and we have gate programs in our schools. And children are being supported to bring about innovation, and that innovation will not be bottled up in them by sheer virtue of the fact that we don't know who they are and how they learn. So I'm super excited about that. And I can't wait to see Ghanaian students getting the opportunity at junior high school level engineering. Are we helping us engineer our way out of challenges? Because the environment that we create for them will lend itself to that. So it brings great excitement to me that within existing resources, we can truly do more, as they say, with less. So some of the career pathways that these gifted and talented students will be given the opportunity to pursue together, and the ones that will be done in our STEM schools include environmental science, aeronautics and aerospace engineering, computer science, manufacturing, agri science, global studies, and creative arts. Creative arts is where a site and a school is currently under construction in Kumasi, Akwadaso, going to bring children with creative talents from across the country. You have to audition to get into the school. That school will be opening in 2023. And when it happens, you're going to see Ghana's creative arts industry being given a boost, a great boost, because the young ones that are talented will find their space there, and industry individuals will get the opportunity to motivate them there and to guide them. We are creating our own Hollywood. And we believe that just as it is done around the world where talented individuals are nurtured to really bring out their talent, gifted and talented education, whether it's through the global creative arts, engineering, agri science, or environmental science, will give us an opportunity to nurture the great minds of our future. The arts science of Africa will be nurtured through these institutions.
Away from that, Central Legislator Ibrahim Murtala Mohammed has questioned the essence of the electronic transaction levy when government is misusing the country's funds with careless abandon. Now, the Member of Parliament, among other things, slammed the governing New Patriotic Party for wasting resources on irrelevances such as the renting of private jets, etc.
Auditor General, in the 2020 Auditor General's report, by the way, not Demlevo's report, the new Auditor General appointed by this government, has indicated that over 12 billion of state monies were misappropriated. The e-levy is supposed to give government about 6.9 billion. What it means is that 1 year alone misappropriation of monies belonging to us, our taxes. If government is able to close the holes, 1 year's money's misappropriation is enough to take care of e-levy for 2 years. Now, what is the guarantee that if we approve the e-levy and these holes are not closed, then we would have done nothing? We would have done absolutely nothing. So what we're simply telling government is that, look, there are a lot of leakages. Close those leakages and you don't need e-levy. Two, it is unfair. Any tax regime, an instrument of tax, must ensure fairness in terms of the impact or the effect of that tax on the citizens. Let me give you a classical example. You are a businessman. You drove your car to this place. I drove to this place. We all went to buy fuel. And then you decide to pay cash. Maybe you bought a fuel of 500 Ghana cedis. You pay cash. They give you a fuel that is equal to the amount of money that you have paid for. 500 Ghana cedis. Then I also come there to buy the same fuel, 500 Ghana cedis, and I decide to pay through electronic transaction. Then I will pay 500 Ghana cedis and then pay additional tax on the 500 Ghana cedis. It simply doesn't make sense. Again, you can't tell me that I should pay more taxes when I haven't seen the effect of the taxes that I have paid. This government has indeed increased the public debt of this country to about 340 billion. This government. At least over 200 to 300 billion. That is what this government has done within the period of 4 or 5 years. In the same budget, we have been told that government wants to borrow more and that they want to go to both external borrowing and domestic borrowing. That is what they want to do. Now, you have a president who refuses to use a presidential jet, which is safe anyway. Because if it is not safe, why do you make it available to other presidents to use? If it is not safe, they use the same presidential jet to airlift NPP MPs from Germany to come for the purposes of voting on in the matter of the e-levy. Yet the president is not willing to use that. He is willing to charter flights at the expense of the state. This government is willing to pay people who are seated behind just laptop at the Flagstaff House 15,000 Ghana cedis a month. And what they do simply is that they go on Facebook attacking and maligning people. And those people are paid 15,000 Ghana cedis. It is only under this government that you find presidential staffers. A presidential staffer simply means somebody who works within the presidency. They live in state bungalows. They are given Land Cruisers, provided with drivers, fueled by the state, and provided with state security.
All right.
Meanwhile, some Ghanaians have expressed worry over the introduction and a possible passage of a 1.75% electronic transactions levy bill, a mechanism of revenue generated captured in the 2022 fiscal policy statement presented by the Finance Minister Kenneth Oriata in Parliament on November 17, 2021. According to them, the introduction of a tax will exacerbate the already existing plight of the ordinary Ghanaian.
In accordance with Article 179 and Section 21, Clause 3 of the Public Financial Management Act 2016, Act 921 of the 1992 Constitution, the Minister of Finance, Ken Oforiatta, on behalf of the President, presented the 2022 Budget Statement and Economic Policy of Government to Parliament. During the presentation of the budget, the minister announced new taxes and some other interventions to meet the domestic revenue target. Key amongst them was the introduction of a 1.75% electronic transaction levy, which has since been a topic for discussion. Now, the past few months has been characterized with a lot of higgledy-piggledies in Parliament following the Finance Minister Ken Oforiatta's introduction of a 1.75% electronic transaction levy during the presentation of the 2022 fiscal policy statement in Parliament. Now, this has got a lot of tongues wagging, especially the minority in Parliament, who believe that the 1.75% e-levy will not reduce the country's dependence on debt, as purported by the Akufo-Addo-led administration, but rather worsen or exacerbate the plight of the ordinary Ghanaian. Some Ghanaians have also shared similar sentiments.
Seriously against the introduction of the e-levy. The truth is very simple. We all know that the current state of the economy is not that stable. The citizens are having serious challenges as far as their financial status is concerned. There are a lot of taxes that have been introduced this year alone. We all know how the petroleum hikes have been more or less rampant in the system. And then the transactions that we do through our mobile money too is also taxed. Seriously, it will put a burden on us.
Some mobile money agents also expressed dissatisfaction with the introduction of the bill, although the finance minister on Friday proposed a reduction of the e-levy from 1.75% to 1.5%, subject to parliamentary approval.
The e-levy no moment the effects in it the Obama all the citizens, because as an agent in India, I'm trying to say, yeah, e-levy no, I'm on tax. but citizens in a woman, and then I'm a tax room, but and I just an ordering. Well, I'll share the telecourse on the best, not the albino, so better now. Yes, I know, I never maybe I saw a agent in a business is a bit to my day. But down if I never be decided to visit your mobile money the other way, I'm buying better in the other way, so better in the other on physical number, turn wallet, and answer on the loading wallet. Because yes, we are not, yes, we are a business commissioner.
Now, we have heard from a lot of Ghanaians who believe that the 1.75% electronic transaction levy will actually worsen their current conditions. This is the Makiza Micheline Latifa report for Pan African News.
Away from that, let's go to the Oti region, where the Nkwanta branch of the Ghana Commercial Bank escaped destruction after properties, including money, foodstuff, among other things, got burnt in a house next to the financial institution. According to eyewitnesses' account, it took the intervention of the community members to stop the fire from spreading to other buildings.
Daniel is a victim and a wife to the owner of the burnt building. She said all her belongings got burnt, including her business proceeds of about 5,000 Ghana cedis. According to Elik Blim, she came back from Burkina Faso where she got her supply of tomatoes, which will be retailed here in Ghana the day before the inferno. Consequently, her business as a trader has been shuttered. Landlord of the burnt house, Moses Nwamesi, narrated to Pan African News how the building got burnt while his family left for church services that morning.
I have a phone call. I mean, they let me know that the fire had burnt at my house. I just rushed with the phone. I came, I could see that there's a lot of
Other victims also share their varied views. The victims are calling on NADMO for support as well as government as they are currently displaced.
Black power. We will close out tonight's program, and we thank the presenters, the broadcasters, Pan-African Television based out of Ghana for the very insightful updates as to what's taking place in the different countries on the continent of Africa. We will close out this special Pan-African broadcast with a clip which will include the late, great Honorable Kwame Nkrumah, as well as Ambassador Eric Connor. We thank you, everyone who's listening and who supports the New Black Panther Radio. I will play this clip to take us out, Black Power.
Ride the bus, I know be die for nothing.
my nigga. What's it gon' do? G-Wagon, all different dudes. The gallon, ride the wood. I know you, die or not. Make you no say anything when you do, they must commend it.
I can't come and keep myself.
So anything when you do, I they try to do it on my way.
I can't come and keep myself.
Plenty, 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 so far we be paid. Just to make sure money day. But my people can go say, I know one buy, I know one die, I know one spend me. I want enjoy, I want chop life, I want buy motor, I want build house, I still want turn up. Tell me, my nigga, what you come? G-Wagon. All the Bentley, take your time, ride the whip, I know fi, die for nothing. My nigga, what's it gonna be? G-Wagon, all the Bentley, the garden, ride with me, I know fi. Different things them happening, schemes and packaging. In a one night for shows I'm juggling. Flow like the ocean, my boat I'm paddling. Cherishing a fella that's my bro, my family. Rose and chill. When it comes to money I take concentrate. Make I tell you straight, you are not my mate. If you be commission I be head of state. But my people then go say I know one buy, I know one die, I know one payment. I want enjoy, I want chop life, I want buy motor, I want build house, I still want turn up. Money, money, money. What's it gon' be? G-Wagon, all the Bentley, stick your chest, ride the whip, I know be, die for nothing. My nigga, what's it gon' be? G-Wagon, all the Bentley, stick your chest, ride the whip, I know be, die for nothing. Unuwa bona.
We are all as good as we are able to make ourselves once we are free. We want, therefore, to develop our own community and an African personality. Others may feel that they have evolved the very best way of life, but we are not bound, like slavish imitators, to accept it as our mold. We find the methods used by others are suitable to our social environment, we shall adopt or adapt them. If we find them unsuitable, we shall reject them. Fighters for African freedoms, I appeal to you in the sacred name of Mother Africa to leave this conference resolved to rededicate yourselves to the task of forming among the political parties in your respective countries a broad united front based upon one common fundamental aim and object, the speedy liberation of your territories. Don't let us also forget that colonialism and imperialism may come to us yet in a different guise, not necessary from Europe. We must alert ourselves to be able to recognize this when it rears its head and prepare ourselves to fight against it. This mid-20th century is Africa's. This decade is the decade of African independence. Forward then to independence. To independence now. Tomorrow.
1884. After the colonizers had been running around our continent of Africa, They wondered how they were going to defeat these people. You see, you got to understand, before the Greek civilization, before the Roman Empire, there was Africa. The pyramids were built 2,500 years before the Greek civilization. Have you ever wondered why the Greek philosophers, the mathematicians, where were they sent for training, for education, for retraining? They were sent to Africa. Why were they sent to Africa? Because civilization as we know it began in Africa. Civilization was in Africa before they had it in Europe. You see, the history books choose to begin history from here going forward. What they don't tell you is that even the English language is based on the Yoruba language. Humanity, as we know it, began in Africa. Without the African, there would not be any other races. It's just a simple fact. So they came together and set out a plan. Prior to 1884, you got to remember, Africa was made up of powerful kingdoms. The countries that we know as African countries today did not exist. So if you're going to be doing your DNA testing, I urge you, don't settle for "I'm from Nigeria." Settle for "what is my kingdom." She said, "I'm a proud member of the Monomotapa kingdom." "Are you an Ashanti? Are you from the Benin kingdom?" That's who we were before the Berlin Conference. So why did they meet in 1884? At the invitation of the then Chancellor of Germany, Bismarck. Bismarck said, "Let's all come together. We, the colonizers." Because keep in mind, at that time, they were beginning to fight each other over how to distribute what they had looted from the Africans. So you see, the French would loot from the Africans, then the British would come and then loot from the French, while the French had looted from the Africans, and then the Belgians would come, they would loot from the British, while the British looted from the French, then the French looted from the Africans. They were getting ready to have a European war on the African soil. So Bismarck called his sidekick, the then King of Belgium, and said, "Let's meet in Berlin. Let's strategize on how we can effectively loot from the Africans in a unified way that does not lead us into a war." So they met in Berlin to strategize on how to see to it that Africa and her children are forever defeated and dominated. Make no mistake about that. I repeat, they met in Berlin from November of 1884 to February of 1885 to strategize on how to effectively see to it that Africa and her children are forever defeated and dominated. That was 135 years ago. Fast forward 2019. The strategy remains in place today. History tells us that they set across from big old map of Africa. They proceeded to chop Africa up into tiny little economies that we see today. Tiny economies that clearly cannot survive on their own. Tiny economies that, should they survive, like black people always do, they're easy to destabilize. And then after they chopped up these little countries, they often say, the divide...
Yo, turn this motherfucking shit up!
Rwanda, Nigeria, red line, fuck a cop, hip hop. Make your head bob, bounce to this socialist movement. My environment made me the nigga I am. Uncle Sam came and got me and the rest of my fam. Try to infiltrate and murder off the best of my clan. I'm not American, punk Democrat or Republican, remember that. Most of the cats you know be hustling. My mama worked all her life and still struggling. I blame it on the government and say it on the radio. And if you don't already know, all these Uncle Tom ass kissing niggas got to go. Got to go, got to go, got to go.